Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us shortly, and obviously, it's been a while. It's been quite some time since we last talked as far as, you know, from a Vikings perspective. You know, we've been kind of just trying to figure out when is a good time to do the show. When are they going to be kind of done with free agency as of right now? Really, it came down to, when are they going to sign a damn offensive lineman? And that's when we knew, okay, now we can do a show. Now we can do a show, because that would have been a huge, huge topic had we still had, you know, signed an offensive lineman. And it sounds like we have some more offers that we put out there that we'll talk about. But anyway, like I said, we are back on the Purple People Eaters podcast. You know, we're just going to talk the off-season moves and what we think about them. You know, everybody knows them. We're just going to give our opinions on them, whether it's, you know, the players that got cut, you know, Remmers and Murray and Sendejo, or the player that stayed. I'm sure there's going to be potentially some other pay cuts, or at least maneuvering some money potentially. You know, down the line here, we had a defensive lineman come back to us. You know, we had Nick Easton leave, but then we were able to sign Josh Klein. So we're going to just kind of, you know, take a look at it. Obviously, the biggest move was, you know, Anthony Barr, you know, coming back. And for a second there, it looked like we were going to lose Sheldon and Anthony Barr. And that would have been rough. So we're just going to kind of break it all down. Some people are really happy that Barr's back. Some people thought we maybe burned a little too much money on that. Just a wide variety of stuff here we'll talk about. And, of course, now that we're not done with free agency, that's for sure, but we got a better – well, we brought back the kicker, our running back position we'll talk about. We basically have filled some holes, or at least tweaked our roster somewhat, right? We still could use about 17 guards, but we'll save that for the draft, right? And speaking of the draft, we'll talk position needs then, and kind of preview what our thoughts are for the draft. You know, maybe there's been so much trade speculation, and it hasn't happened. There could be a minor trade from here and, you know, in the next month from here, you know, right about now and until the, you know, until the draft comes. Yeah, my guess is it'd be minor. You know what I mean? But we could have a trade, because, like I said, I mean, especially the first like 10 days after free agency came in, we thought there was going to be a trade for sure. And that's another thing we were kind of waiting on. So, but I wouldn't doubt if there's a trade or two, maybe one major trade around the draft. But anyway, real quick. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. It's Minnesota Vikings football, right? Now, we do talk some Minnesota Gopher football as well. We figure, hey, if you're a Vikings fan, there's a chance at times throughout the year anyway that you'll be a Minnesota Gopher football fan. And I'll tell you what, PJ Fleck, well, let's just put it this way. He's doing some damage, okay? And the team next year, it's going to be a very talented team. They're definitely on the up and up. And we're going to have some bandwagon fans, no doubt about it. You know, I hope anyway, coming up here in the next couple of years with Fleck making progress. But like I said, if this is your first time listening, it's based on the Vikings, hence the Purple People Eaters podcast. It's on a weekly basis, basically starting sometime in August. But we'll definitely have in a month, we'll have a post draft show, just like we're kind of doing post first wave of free agency, probably the third wave of free agency. But, you know, this show right here streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoveradio. So it streams live and it archives right here. So it's under the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast umbrella. Okay. And you can find that to listen to the Purple People Eaters podcast, you know, everywhere. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. We get a whole lot of listens from TuneIn. Same with iHeartRadio, too, of course. But same with Player FM. Player FM is a really, really good source to listen to the show. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, okay? And that could be found on iTunes and Spreaker and Stitcher everywhere, including iHeartRadio and on Spotify. And by the way, just in general, you can use Siri or Alexa or whoever you got, you know, in the kitchen that you talk to, and it records you, and it's kind of weird, but that's your own choice. That's okay. But you can actually go right on TuneIn or Spotify and listen to the show that way as well, okay? So why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. By the way, you can listen to the podcast right there. You can also listen to a variety of podcasts, read an article. I do a weekly football and basketball predictions article as well as boxing when the season pertains for football and whatnot. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. And real quick, before we dig into this and I bring my co-host in, I got a limited time offer. This DirecTV Now deal, it's been a partial deal. You know, we ran ads for a while. This one, the door is closing on this one. It expires the end of March. It's basically a March Madness. It really is. And kind of a Game of Thrones type deal, too, because HBO is included. I'll give you the details here in just a moment. Check out DirecTV Now. If you've cut the cord or you're thinking about cutting the cord, you know, I cut the cord back in August, and I tried a couple of different ones, Hulu and YouTube and Sling. I found that DirecTV Now, the streaming service, is the best one out there. This is a limited-time deal. Like I said, there's no annual contract. You can stream anywhere, your smart TV, your smartphone, your tablet. It has the cloud DVR. The plans start as low as $50 a month, and there's, you know, four different price points, but the plus and the max, okay, that's the 50 and 70, the plus and the max, those will include HBO. So that's why I'm saying it's kind of a Game of Thrones thing too, because we're like 3 weeks out for those who care about that. And this, like I said, expires at the end of March. Here's the promo code to get the first month free for DirecTV Now. The promo code is March 2019. Not just the month and the year like it is right now, but literally March 2019. Okay, I'm not just saying that. That's the code. Free month. Check out DirecTV Now. And for the boxing fans out there, Showtime's $11 with it. So it's a pretty good deal. So you got your Game of Thrones, you got your boxing, and of course you got your sports. It's a March Madness thing. So get on top of that. Before you know it, that thing will be done. All right, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Aaron to the fold, see how he's doing. And, you know, we're probably going to talk a little bit, just a couple of minutes on the Golden Gophers as well. We'll mention it. And I'm talking about the basketball squad, too. We figure, hey, man, you know, it's a local show, right? It's a local sports show here. Aaron, what's going on, man? How the heck are you on this Tuesday? I almost forgot what day it was.
Good, man. Nice to be back on the Purple People Eaters podcast. It's been a while, but I'm trying to be hesitant. Looks like spring might be here. Don't want to say that too loud, but it's supposed to be 68 tomorrow, so let's just keep that in our pocket. But, yeah, really nice to be back. Got a lot of things to talk about. Just want to kick it off. Later in the show, I've been doing a lot of things. I'd like to make a case of why, if we were to trade Waynes, why I'd rather trade Xavier Rhodes. So I've kind of got a little case prepared for that. But other than that, let's go ahead and kick the show off, man.
Man, everybody wants to get rid of Rhodes. Even a Florida State fan wants to get rid of Rhodes, man. One bad year, you know, he's got a bum wheel. Wasn't 100% healthy, and now just the guy's been all roads closed for, what, 6-7 years, and now we just want to toss him to the curb, man. Man, everybody's saying that. Maybe it's just me.
Well, you know,
it's
sort of a it could be, but it's just sort of the point, like you said, it's been 6-7 years now, and I guess the main crux of my argument is that you kind of want to do a depth rotation, you know, and you've got Waynes coming up. Wouldn't it be better to trade a player maybe coming out of their prime as opposed to one coming into their prime? That's generally the case I would make. Is if you got to get rid of one of those guys, I think that's the way I would rather go.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. However, he's got a handful of years. I'd say his prime is probably still in his contract, but we'll talk about that, no doubt about it. It definitely has been a heated discussion in a variety of ways. And I didn't get to – I worked today, so I didn't get to – listen to Zimmer today, but I do have a fair amount of topics and quotes from it that I gathered. So there's that. There's that. But yeah, you're right. It is good to be talking the purple. And just so people know, like I said, we got this show, right? Free agency, our thoughts on it, kind of draft needs, all that good stuff. We'll do a post draft show, give our thoughts on that. Hopefully that goes well. Obviously, my guess is there'll probably be a healthy trade in there potentially. I don't know how major it will be, but I think there'll be a trade, and not just some sort of little minor trade. I think it'll actually be something there, some sort of meat on the bone on that one. And so we'll kind of let the draft, you know, go and do, you know, kind of let the rest of the summer, or the summer, I should say, not the rest of, because we're still in May at that point. So May, June, you know, we'll kind of just chill on that, right? But we'll be back in August. So basically, we're going to do a couple of shows during preseason. We're going to do after game one. So we'll have a handful of weeks of camp in game one to talk about. Then we'll take a 2-week break in there to kind of let it happen, and then game three, generally speaking, is the most important game, as we know, you know, during the preseason. Usually, you know, the starters come out for the third quarter, and it kind of goes off how they're playing, how long they stand. So we'll have one there, and then we'll be all primed up and ready for the Viking season in September. So instead of just starting the week of the season, we're going to give you a couple episodes during the preseason, unlike last year. So we'll definitely looking forward to that, and make sure you stay with us for the draft and then the start of the season. I'm definitely excited for the draft. Let's just kick it off right here, right now. Obviously, you know, Anthony Barr he doubled back, you know, he doubled back on us. Thank goodness. For a second there, it did look like Sheldon and Barr weren't going to be there. That was pretty scary. Once we brought back defensive tackle and really a run stuffer, Shamar Stevens, once he was back in the fold, I felt a little better. And I thought, okay, we really need Anthony now, though. And, you know, both Sheldon, and this was kind of the debate on our show and amongst a lot of boxing fans and other other Vikings fans. And, sorry, I do a boxing show every week. I've been doing it for 9 years. What am I going to do? So that was a big debate, you know, the Vikings fans, other podcasts, members of the media, a lot of people were like, okay, which one? We can't bring them back both. We knew that. So we offered both of them pretty damn good money but below what both of them could get on the free agent market. And so I thought, okay, hey, at least we're here, one of them. You know what I mean? So I was happy that we offered both. I knew one would go. I was just hoping that two wouldn't go. And Sheldon bit on, I think it was Cleveland, right? He got a nice fat contract. I think it's 10 a year, a couple of mil lower than what we were willing to give. I think it was a three-year deal. And then Anthony Barr was kind of, you know, just checking it out, see what's out there. And several teams made a run, no doubt about it, but especially the Jets. And, you know, we heard all this rumors about they're going to probably, you know, we knew his best fit obviously is in a 3-4. Because you could rush a linebacker, and him rushing the quarterback that much more would be huge. It definitely would. So we thought he was gone to the Jets. He actually, you know, notified his, you know, his agent and told him, yeah, I'm good. So he verbally agreed, and it was literally he just needed to put pen to paper. They were going to fly him in and the whole deal. And I guess when he hung up the phone, he just felt something. And it lingered, and it lingered. He called his mother. He called, you know, a couple players, you know, old friends, and just kind of was thinking, dude, I hate to do this. This is kind of going to suck, but I really want to stay. And right there in that moment of herky-jerkiness, I'm sure his agent notified, you know, the Vikes, and especially when we saw, you know, Sheldon leave, then it's like, well, we need to. So we bumped up our money. No, we didn't bump it all the way up to the Jets money, but we bumped it up, and it's a significant contract, no doubt about it. We really, the sticking point for us was getting that, like, I think it was 5.2 or something mil for a cap hit this year, because this year was going to be our tight year when it came to that. So we brought him back. Thank goodness we brought him back. And I did want to bring Sheldon back. But like I said, once they were both gone, I thought, oh my God. But then Barr doubled back, you know, a variety of things, you know, was going through his head. And like I said, it was a little bit calmer for me once I saw Shamar Stevens come back. Then I thought, okay, well, we could either bring Johnson back for third downs or a guy like Johnson, you know, that type of thing. Then I thought, well, 2 years ago, we were just fine with the combination of both those guys, and that helps Johnson too. So we weren't relying on Johnson to be the guy full time. I think at this age, that just is not working for him. You know what I mean? So that was a big, big move right there. And he did speak about that somewhat. They've had, you know, a thing I like about Zimmer, I mean, there's a bunch of them, but I like that he goes after his best players or what he thinks should be a best player. And, you know, him and Anthony Barr have definitely had it out before, and there's, you know, there's some times where he's underachieved, and Barr's even, you know, said that. But then there's, you know, about a 4 or 6 game stretch where all of a sudden you're like, dude, like the game plan just works for him, whatever it is. And you're thinking, yeah, dude, this is the guy we saw in the first year and a half. And so, you know, obviously there's not going to be any kind of contract, you know, stipulations in the contract saying, hey, I need about 10% more blitzes or something like that. He knew that he was, you know, I'm sure they're going to blitz him a little bit more. And we've seen Zimmer saying, hey, we're going to mix it up even more now that we aren't as young, I guess you could say. We did try to mix it up more as far as, you know, the just trying different stuff. And some of it didn't work. Some of it we were relying on young guys to do it. So he's been talking about certain things he wants to change this year for his defense, or just tweak or whatever. And maybe Barr, you know, will be like that. But he said, you know, they were talking about both guys, and he said, you know, I anticipated we were probably going to make a bigger run at him because, you know, it took more money in general. But he was, you know, he started wavering. Once he started wavering, Barr, and we had lost a couple guys, he thought, oh shit, man, now we need to keep this guy. So he said it's kind of refreshing, and it was exciting, and you know, maybe that'll kind of rekindle their relationship, because Zimmer did say a bunch of good stuff about him at the presser And like I said, he's not afraid to go after stars. I'm going to just, once we get to that topic, you know, for Barr and some other ones, I do have some quotes and his thoughts as well. For a second there, Aaron, that would have sucked if we didn't bring back Barr and lost them both. But it's kind of meant to be. The fact that he took less money, the fact that he verbally agreed and then went back on it to the locker room, the system, the coach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really happy to have him back, especially how it happened. I think it really tells you that this is where he wants to be, obviously.
Yeah, I think it really does. And, you know, you were saying about when he left, it would have been nice to keep them both. And, you know, and then the flip side of that is losing them both. And, you know, that was a rough, like, day or so because, you know, you don't really know what you got till it's gone. And it was you know, teetering to being gone there for a second. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like Barr's been a mainstay. It's part of the nucleus of this defense. It's probably what's known as the captain on that defense. He calls the plays and kind of quarterbacks the defense a little bit out there. And you start to see, you know, after he's supposedly signed, you got to kind of get to see where people stood on him. Some said, oh, good, glad he's gone. Others were like, you know, that's unfortunate. We probably need him. And you got to hear a lot of different opinions in that day and a half or so. But then you got to know his role, you know, what we were going to miss and what he actually did for that team. And so you're really happy that he did change his mind. I think I'm happier for him that he changed his mind just because kind of going to the New York Jets and trying to make something out of that just doesn't seem like a very good time. And I think that's probably what ate at him a little bit after he hung up the phone and with their deal and was like, geez, it's the Jets and I'm living in New Jersey and all that fun stuff. So I'm glad he did change his mind. You know, talking about Shamar Stephen coming in to kind of replace Richardson, I think we're going to need more than that. I don't think he's good. He's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. I didn't think Richardson was a great player either, but I think Richardson sort of was a very good player. And having Stephen in the shape that he left, he was just kind of an up-and-comer on the defensive line, went to Seattle, had mixed reviews and decided to come back. You know, I think we're going to need some more help, maybe get into that in the draft section. If someone's there in the first round, it's a whole thing, or maybe even deeper in the draft. I know we drafted a couple guys for depth last year that might be able to step in. But, yeah, you're right. We couldn't have both. We had to take one or the other, and it wasn't like we really had a choice. The choice was sort of made for us. So we go ahead with Barr, and good luck to Richardson in Cleveland.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're definitely on the up and up. And, you know, here in Loserville, we can appreciate. Although, you know what? Screw them. They a couple years ago, they won a title now, so the NBA. So we don't – but Cleveland, we can at least with the Browns anyway, we can relate. So it's like, hey, man, especially when you're in the AFC, it's like – it's kind of like the Cubs. Like, hey, man, I'll watch the Cubs, you know, back in the day when they, you know, sucked. So – or just couldn't get over the hump. Not, you know, they had Dawson and they had a ton of guys, but we could definitely relate to what's going on there. By the way, we knew that Zimmer had been extended. So it sounds like now it's official that Rick Spielman and Zimmer both received extensions through 2020. So that just kind of syncs up those two. And, you know, if it's this year and next year, that would include Cousins in that as well, if you think about it. So, you know, I think that is important to an extent. I do. I definitely do. I think that, and it also is kind of like putting your, cards on the table and be like, all right, guys, you know, you're a combo package. And if you don't produce this year, you know, you can combo package, get the hell out of here too. So I kind of like that they did that. Obviously, if it doesn't work this year, we can just buy him out for that one last year anyway. So I think it helps with it's not so much like college where if you're recruiting, because you're recruiting year round, so you see a lot of extensions happen just because of that, but the payout isn't as bad or whatever. So that is something that we can now officially say, not just a year, but, you know, they are extended here. And so that's nice to at least have some stability. We'll see. Ultimately, though, they got to show up. It's, you know, we knew that we saw some contracts and we knew some cuts were coming. A guy like Murray is a tough one to lose. But this day and age with running backs, you know, we just couldn't pay him the money he was making. We just couldn't do it. And, you know, I wish him well, no doubt about it. He's been pretty solid for us. But we pretty much knew that was going to happen. We've made a move that we'll talk about when we talk about some free agents that we signed or brought back. But you figure Murray was going to be gone. Like I said, the veteran free agents that, well, one of them we signed, and then also the draft. I mean, I think we'll be okay there. Obviously, we can't have Cook out for half the year. Then that will come back and bite our ass. Remmers had to go. I mean, maybe if you didn't see something from the rookie last year at the tackle position, you could, you know, slide Remmers back out there. But money-wise, yeah, he had to go. Same with Sendejo. Mr., you know, I'll hit the shit out of you, but won't wrap up. You know, last year he really didn't play much. He got hurt, and then just the people in front of him, Harris and company, were just, you know, playing better than him, or at least playing good enough to stay in the lineup. I think Sendejo was always a pretty good player. He had his moments, but to me, you know, there's no point in, like, overpaying him or anything like that. And then Everson Griffiths decided to take a pay cut to be able to stay on the team. That was huge. I really think that is huge. Now, obviously, we're going to find out coming into this year, and maybe, you know, just maybe he may be gone after this year if he doesn't produce. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, the fact that we have some depth there helps. But we'll see if he can bounce back and get into the groove, you know, and the mental, you know, issues. We'll see, you know, how that works out. Obviously, there was information out there about how certain meds, although they help him mentally, right, they get him kind of centered, pretty strong. So it's hard to play up to an NFL level on them. And so that was part of him trying to find the right dosage and to be able to play full on. And so that, I think that's the biggest thing right there. It's like it really matters the medication and how powerful it will be for him physically. And that's what it comes down to. That's what I think anyway. A couple other moves. We mentioned Stevens back. Anthony Harris. I actually wrote it Anthony Safety Harris. Hey, I mean, that's his position, I guess. Both of them returned. Harris played really, really good. I like him a whole lot. So as far as the cuts and the trims, anything that kind of makes you scratch your head, or it kind of seemed like Murray, Remerson, and Dejo, those were kind of what we listed and what many listed as far as they're probably not going to return to the club, just from a financial perspective.
No, it seems pretty much the chalk there. You know, Easton, I think he kind of threw him for a loop. I think Spielman thought he kind of had him in the bag, and I think he was a bit surprised when Easton decided to move on. I was a little surprised, too. He's just been a lifer here with the Vikings, so, you know, I thought maybe he would stick around, but he went on and moved on to New Orleans. And Murray, you know, that's another one you want to kind of keep. He's definitely a useful piece, but, you know, at the money we're paying him, you're right, he's got to kind of cut bait on that one. Remmers, obviously, I mean, he's still not signed with another team as far as I know.
Right.
He just had really struggled the last two seasons, both at tackle and guard. And then I think he struggled for a little while, too, with Carolina, thus letting him go and moving on to us. So I think he's having a little rough patch in his career here. So, you know, he had to move on. Sendejo, Yeah, I mean, I wonder if that injury is a little bit more than they want to let on. He did sit out the last part of the year, and, you know, Philly's taking a chance on him. He's a good player. Like you said, he's a missile. He doesn't really like to wrap up, but, you know, he gets to the ball. He's made a couple good plays for us. He's been here for an awful long time, so he's going to do well, I hope, in Philadelphia. You know, Griffin's one I think they would have wanted to let go. I think he kind of maybe begged for that. For that pay cut to stay on the team, just a little security is kind of what he needs right now. And I hope he can raise his level of play. If not, you know, he's a good guy to come in and spell some guys on that defensive line. If we get another guy that can play the end, I'm not really big on the other guy. I like Danielle Hunter. I think he'll move over to that side. But then Weatherly on the other side, you know, he's got to maybe a prove it thing to do if they're going to play him there. Or if they're just going to spot guys in and out there. I know they have enough of them, guys that can play out there at this point, with some guys coming back, the undrafted free agents and all that. I thought a really big loss that we might feel coming up here would be Marcus Sherrills. Now, he's been around for an awful long time, you know, always making it through training camp and playing well in his spot. Not the greatest corner, but he can play in a pinch, but a really great punt returner. And, you know, that's another situation where you don't know what you got till it's gone. I mean, he never dropped a ball that I can remember. Very few stupid plays, and that's a kind of an important position there, especially when you get the ball in those situations. You want to make sure it's secure and that you don't make any dumb plays. And he really did a great job with that, as well as getting a few punt return touchdowns and some good plays on special teams. So I really think we're going to miss him a little more than we think. He might be replaced by two players, especially as far as special teams goes. So I think that'll be the biggest loss that we'll feel going into the new season. Maybe Richardson would be up there as well. But, you know, we got Bailey back, which is pretty nice. I think he's a good enough kicker. He kicked well for us last year. No really egregious misses. Nothing that lost us a game.
Especially down the stretch, you know. Right away,
and
he kind of had that little jinx on him a little bit, but it seemed to wear off.
Yeah, and I'm really happy for Anthony Harris. You know, he put in the time here, sitting on the bench and coming in spot duty, and he really did a good job in that, a lot of turnovers. So I'm real happy that the system sort of worked out for him, and he's going to get a chance to start this year. I think he'll do a good job. I think they'll probably look at some other safety in the draft as some depth. But I think overall, the defense is staying intact, which is probably up to 6 years now for the core of it, and that's just unheard of in the NFL. So I really think the Vikings did a great job of wrapping up their young defense, and continuity there is, you know, I'm sure at this point those guys can make calls without even making calls, which is what you want to be able to do. I'm sure they've seen almost everything that can be thrown at them and are able to adjust the way that Zimmer wants them to. So I think defensively, you know, we got a few holes to fill, but overall, I think they did a great job in the offseason thus far. I think they're going to look for some guys in the draft to bolster depth or maybe come in and fill a position, but real happy with the way the defense looks.
Yeah, and before we get to the elephant in the room, sometimes literally with the size of these guys, offensive linemen, we'll get there in a second. But, you know, Zimmer did talk about potentially, he's talked about it a couple times now, talked about the combine too, about potentially bringing in a kicker coach. And this is coming from Courtney Cronin, who does a good job for ESPN at 1500 covering the Vikes. You know, he said he had a positive experience actually working with one when he was in Dallas, a kicking consultant, basically. Just another set of eyes doesn't hurt was basically his quote on that. And, you know, what he did say, Bailey, and I'm right with you. I'm glad that we brought him back. I think he'll have a really good year, knock on wood. But he said what he's most excited about is just, you know, having the full off season to work with the long snapper and the punter, Matt Weil and Kevin McDermott, you know, just having that full instead of coming in week three or week four. So I think that plays into it. So I'm right there with you. I'm glad that we brought him back. And hey, I mean, you know, Ziggy's got some money. We might as well just hand somebody some advisory money. Just why not? You know what I mean? We talked about, you know, the Vikings do have some interest in bringing back Johnson from the defensive lineman, the kind of spell Third down stuff, I like that. Robinson, who came in and did pretty good at wide receiver. It sounds like no offer has been extended to this date. Sounds like we're going to kind of move in on him or move off of him. So there has been, you know, Brett Jones, who we got last year, who's like a center slash guard, but center more, because obviously we didn't know for a fact if our center was going to be healthy this year going into the year. They have an offer to him, and he's mulling it over right now, Brett Jones. And I would like the fact that he can play guard too, and just depth in general, inside depth. We need inside linemen, obviously. That would be really interesting. So Brett Jones is still in the mix. And even that center, Tyler Shatley, who can play center and guard, who we brought in, they didn't reach a deal. But as far as I know, he hasn't been picked up just yet. As you mentioned, Nick Easton left. I was right with you and Zimmer as well. I thought we'd bring him back for sure and just give it a try. You know, he was a solid player for us 2 years ago. But, you know, he did have kind of a scary injury that kept him out all last year. It kind of sucked right before the season for him and for us, obviously, because he was a guy that could get out and pull, and he was a pretty solid player 2 years ago. But when you see 4 years and you see the money, that is kind of a lot of risk for a guy that you hope can be what he was 2 years ago. And then I think after this year, then if he can make it, he doesn't have any kind of setback or anything like that, then I think he probably have a solid career. We'll see. But yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. I really thought we'd be able to, you know, bring him in for a year or two, but hey, if he's going to get 3 or 4 years, why wouldn't he go there? The Saints are just, it's like the New Orleans Vikes over there. They got a bunch of our guys. But we did manage. So I mentioned some of the other guys for offensive linemen. So, you know, don't be surprised if that pops off at any time. Just for depth or just the other guard position. We did get, I believe, a right guard, if I remember correctly, Josh Klein. He was making probably a little bit too much money where he was making too much money where he was in Tennessee. They cut him. He did have a mediocre year last year. He is in a similar, pretty much very similar system, to the point where a lot of the calls and a lot of the lingo is very much the same. So he might be ahead of the curve when it comes to that, but the guy is, what they say, 46 or 48 starts in a row. The Patriots thought about bringing him back a couple years ago when they developed him. But you know how it takes a special-ass player to get re-signed with them, because they don't do it, man. They've let major studs go time after time, and they just find a way to either replace them with two or three guys or develop a guy that they've had or draft a guy, whatever the case may be. So I really like 3-year deal, Josh Klein. You know, I really like the signing. It was a must sign, obviously, and I'd like to bring in one more veteran who's played, who fits the system, then go into the draft with a little bit more depth than we had. Like you said, on the inside, you had it. You know, before Klein, it was Isadora. And, hey, he's from Minnesota. Who knows, in a year or two, he might be able to be a starting guard, but, you know, he just hasn't shown it. Barely even played yet. So I'm really happy with that. Now, what's your thoughts on this right now? You know, the last probably 3 to 5 years, we brought in and paid healthily for some of these offensive linemen. You know, Remmers is gone. One of them stayed. We do have one that we stayed that same offseason. But then who is that guy from Seattle? Was it Boone? Boone will lasted a year with us, and then he got cut, and that was a healthy contract. So maybe Spielman learned his lesson from forking out this kind of overpaying these guys rather than finding the fit and not overpaying. I kind of like that we're going with that. Now, it's one thing to get like a free agent who's just a stud, but that second tier guy was so expensive. And just in general, this free agency, because there was so much money. People overpaid for so many players, and especially offensive linemen this year. So in a weird way, Aaron, it's almost better that we didn't have all this money because we've made those prior mistakes. Maybe this will work out better for us where we find a guy who just fits and it's affordable rather than throwing a 4 or 5 year deal and having to look at that in a year or two going, man, because that's 2 out of the 3 top offensive free agents that aren't on the squad anymore. What are your thoughts on this? Did Spielman kind of learn his lesson and say, hey, let's just calm down with this stuff. We don't need to sign a top five guy just because he's a top five guy because the money's crazy, and that's for all positions, by the way, this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it there. I mean, you couldn't really sign the top-ranked guy because we just don't have the money. I think he was kind of relegated to see what he could find in the second and third tier of free agency and probably looking at a lot of undrafted free agents. I mean, I just want to see bodies come in there, 8, 10 of them, whether you get them draft, free agent, undrafted free agent. We just need guys to compete, particularly in the inside of that offensive line. And now we've got what Chicago has for a defensive line. I mean, we really have to shore that up. This has been an ongoing problem for probably up to 5 years now, and it just seems like this is the year it has to be addressed. I mean, it should have been addressed last year, but you know, things got in the way. And I really think that, you know, it's going to be a pretty loaded draft. And Klein's good. I hope he can make starter, but, I mean, we do need the depth there. And, you know, it depends on who they get in the draft and where he plays. I mean, they could just take the best offensive lineman and move guys around. But, you know, I'm starting to spoil on the idea of moving guys around. It just doesn't seem to work. And last, like you mentioned, the last two free agent signings that were big names as far as we thought paid good money were Boone and Remmers, and neither of them worked out. I hope we got some new eyes in there because it just doesn't seem like we evaluate offensive linemen all that well. I mean, we did get the tackle last year, and I think we kind of lucked into that. Everybody thought he was going to be a bit of a project, that being O'Neal. And he kind of worked out, and, you know, he played well. He's athletic. I'd like to see him stay at that right tackle position and kind of learn that and hold it down this season and kind of get a good grade on that, see where he's at with that. I really think we need to get another free agent. I know there's another guy that they're mulling it over, thinking about signing. I think he played with the Jaguars, and he seems like a big kid and good. He's young. So I think, you know, got to get young on the offensive line, and we've got to have a lot of choices. I think we need to have good competition in camp and let some guys fight it out and start on that inside. I think Alpha line's pretty much a lock, whether that be at center or guard. Unless we draft a really good center, I'd like to keep Alpha line at center. I think he's comfortable there. It's a good spot for him. We've got the new change in the philosophy there with a lot of zone running now, which is basically – everybody block left, everybody block right, and the running back finds a hole. I think that in a lot of cutbacks as well on that. So you want to get guys that can get out and reach the second level. The Elfline's proved that when healthy, he can do that very, very well. So I think we need, you know, to fill up that inside, we need to have, you know, two guards on each side and probably a guy that can a swing center guard type of guy. I think the tackles Reef will do. But you want to get somebody young in there. That'll probably happen in the draft somewhere. I really think it just comes down to evaluating what's available at the moment and making the right choices to fill out the rest of this offensive line. It's really got to be the number one priority from this point forward. I'm sure it's kind of been a priority this whole offseason. But to just end up with one second to maybe third tier free agent as a guy going into the draft leaves you kind of wanting a little bit more.
Yeah. And, you know, he did speak about his philosophy and what how they're changing the system a little bit in general. That'll help the line, that'll help Cousins just in general. Just a little bit more on Rhodes. He did mention how we need him to be more consistent, play better. He needs to have a better year than he did last year for Rhodes. But he did say we're paying him a lot of money, so he needs to play up to that contract. That's basically saying we're not going to trade him. That's just my opinion. But he did, just to kind of reiterate what you were talking about in that zone blocking and all that, and obviously Zimmer wanted to run the ball more. Now, he's not committed strictly to 50-50 balance. He just, you know, it's a game-by-game, obviously. This is what he's saying. He just he said the stress he puts on the defense by, you know, running the ball, it's just big. And 2 years ago when we were second attempts and I think eighth or ninth in rushing, that goes a long way. And once you saw the last, he even said it, yeah, the final four teams, they all could run the shit out of the ball. You know, we keep hearing all this pass, but how did the Rams get as far as they did in the playoffs? Remember that Anderson? They just kept plugging him in. They ran the shit out of the ball. All those teams did once they got in there. And in a lot of those games, all of a sudden weren't these high-scoring 42 to 41 games. They were kind of back to, I'm not going to say old school, but you need to run the ball, period. That's just how it goes. Unless you got, you know, one or two more threats on offense and a great offensive line, then it's a little bit more. You know, you can do that. But I'm glad that they're, you know, he's not just saying, hey, we need to be 50-50, but he definitely wants to get back on that. And then as far as he had a conversation with Kyle Shanahan, 49ers coach, and he was talking about how Shanahan's influence and Cousins with Kubiak, and he just thinks, this is a quote, bottom line, Zimmer said, it's games where, you know, he's got to play better, sure. But the offensive philosophy, the terminology, the West Coast system, it's basically, you know, he said he's going to play really good. The offense with Kubiak and Stefanski is right down his alley. So the fit, as we were talking about last year during the year, the fit was so damn important, especially if you don't have a top five quarterback. You know what I mean? Even if the guy puts up top five stats, you know, we know Cousins is in the top five. We need him to be top 10, top 12, and we'll be just fine with that. So yeah, that about sums it up on my end before we talk, you know, we talk about draft needs and whatnot. Is there anything else as far as the moves that were made or not made or whatever, that you'd like to talk about?
I thought that, Trevor Siemian moving on was an interesting thing. He was here for, I think, two seasons. And as a backup quarterback, and I thought he had a lot of potential. I'm sorry he didn't see the field at all. But I really liked a little bit of what I saw him in Denver after Peyton Manning left. I would have liked to see what he could have done here. He seemed like a good quarterback. I think he went to the Jets. I'm not exactly sure, but my gut's telling me that. And, you know, so good luck to him. I just feel like, you know, we have Slaughter, who might come up and play that second. But it kind of leaves us with a bit of a need there at that second quarterback spot.
Yeah, whether it's veteran, whether it's a young QB in the fifth, seventh round, whatever, we definitely need to do something draft-wise. And as we've already kind of talked about some needs draft-wise, obviously offensive linemen, especially interior. You made a good point, though, to draft a tackle somewhere in there as a project. You can get them fifth, sixth round even. I like what you're saying there. You know, another wide receiver, why not try it? A running back mid to late wouldn't be the worst thing. We did bring in, you know, bring back Amir Abdullah, who we made a trade for. He's a running back slash kick returner, so him and Hughes should be handling some of that. I could see us having, someone in the draft that could potentially do that too. I wouldn't doubt if we kind of get a combo guy or you know, a cornerback that can do that just to add another layer in there. Defensive line interior, I think, you know, we talked about, you know, maybe we'll get one of those Clemson guys in the middle. That'd be big. But a tight end, you know, for whatever reason, that second layer of tight end, whether they have good moments for a half a season, then get hurt, then we don't hear from them. We hear this guy's a good blocker. All of a sudden, you know, he gets hurt. Or we get him catching some passes, and for whatever reason, we just can't get that second tight end to stick. Maybe we'll be looking at that as well come draft time. But overall, I wouldn't doubt. I'm still, you know, we're in agreement on, you know, the best player available, especially with the first pick. But really, you know, I'd say the second pick as well. I wouldn't doubt, though, like I mentioned, if we make a significant trade, you know, before the draft, sure, I could see some minor ones, but I could see draft night us making a decent draft, you know, or I'm sorry, a decent trade, something significant. It wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe we'll move up in the second round a little more. You know, it does seem like an offensive lineman or a D tackle will be there in the first round. There's about three or four, maybe just three offensive linemen that should be in the realm. If you look at, you know, a variety of mock drafts and all that, I mean, I know there's a month still, but it seems like we're going to be able to get somebody there at offensive line. It's just a matter of if we snake it. It's a fairly deep offensive line draft kind of top end. So there could be a run on them, and maybe we won't get one and we'll get that second tier one. I really don't know. It's kind of funny, though. Last week, Aaron, I saw this picture of Zimmer at this Kentucky cornerbacks pro day, and he's on the field. He's chit-chatting with them two are just all alone on the field chatting, and he's just – the mad genius is just like, oh, I got another one. No one knows about this guy. I got another one. I just can't help to think that he doesn't have his eye on a corner. You know what I mean? But, yeah, D-tackle or offensive line in the first round, two, three rounds, definitely a must.
You know he's going to get a corner in there somewhere. If not, he'll get a safety. I mean, he's probably got his eyes on a few guys that he likes. You know, I thought the pickup of Holton Hill last year was just a great thing. Holton had some trouble in Texas, which kind of muddied with his draft prospect, but it was a great pickup. He's a big kid, and I thought he played well and could only improve. So, yeah, I mean, you and I, like you said, are on agreement with the best player available, and I would not discount some sort of trade. I mean, feel like if there's going to be a trade, it's going to be draft day or before draft day. It'd be nice to pick up another first-round pick. I think that's something that could be in the cards. And that you kind of called it – I want to kind of piggyback on your tight end deal. You know, in the first round, let's say you face the proposition that you can get yourself a really good offensive lineman or a really good defensive lineman. Obviously, I think you'd probably want to lean to an offensive lineman that you like, but there's two Iowa tight ends there that look pretty good. And, you know, let's say there's a run on offensive linemen, so your first-tier offensive line. You know, do you want to go ahead and maybe take Noah Fant and end the whole tight end conversation and maybe, you know, use Rudolph a little bit for some draft capital? That might be something we could look at. I think Rick Spielman's going to have one of his moving around quite a bit in this draft. He's going to be very active trying to get more picks and trying to get higher picks. I think we know that we can afford to pay rookies, and we're going to need to get good ones that can contribute. So I really think that he's going to be moving around quite a bit, and I wouldn't doubt us having two first-round picks either during the draft or leading up to it. I think that you want to take an offensive lineman, but I don't think you should lean anyway in the first round. Just take the best player that's there. And then one of those Clemson guys could fall to 18, and I think that wouldn't be a bad pick. I think you'd get a high-end defensive tackle to go ahead and replace Richardson. Patterson, the defensive line coach, always works wonders with guys. So you get him a guy with first-round talent, and I think he can come in and make an impact right away. Offensive linemen, there's a couple I like. I like that tackle Cody Ford out of Oklahoma, and then that Dalton Reisner guy out of Kansas State. I think those are a couple names to think about in the first round. And I think you nailed it with the third wide receiver. We need to get one way or another. I think we got Chad Beebe, who will probably do some kick returning and be a good third option, I think. But I think you want to maybe get a guy with some size to him. I know the Treadwell thing hasn't been working out. And I'd like to see if we can get another guy in there with 6'1 or over with some length to him for some red zone opportunities. He'd pick up a running back pretty much anywhere. You wanted to talk quarterback a little bit. You know, do you use a fifth, a fourth, a sixth round pick on a quarterback, take a chance, get him in the building and see what he can do? I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. You're going to need somebody behind Kirk the season after next. And it wouldn't be bad if you could find a guy that could come in and train for a couple of years and then take that role over. Now, you might not find that in the fourth or fifth round, but then again, you might. You just never know. So I would take a flyer maybe on a quarterback this year. and you know, see how it goes. I'm thinking though, first round it's going to be offensive line or defensive tackle, just like you said, and look for a corner to go in there somewhere. So I think it's pretty easy to redraft. I think most of the suspense is going to come from Spielman moving up and down and attaining more picks. I think that's kind of what to look for in the coming draft.
Yeah, I think they'll be eyeballing a late pick for the quarterback, like you said. And, you know, if we don't have a veteran signed by them, they'll definitely be eyeing it. But you can come out of the draft and still in June, because that's a lot of times where that second wave, you know, gets cut, the second wave cuts. And there's actually a stronger third wave once you get into camp, too, and you get down to 53 and all that. So I believe we're going to find a veteran quarterback. Or, you know, like you said, maybe we will. I think we're going to be okay. I feel like it's a position we can fill. Not totally similar to running back, because we'll need the guy probably to produce more. Well, hopefully anyway, because we did pay Cousins money, so we need him in the starting lineup. But I think you can find it. For what you need. But I agree. You know, I like the trade to bring what's-his-toes here, but he figured, hey, man, I could have sworn it was a 2-year deal too, but I guess I was wrong. It was just a 1-year deal. But anyway, that about wraps it up. As far as Gopher football, you know, the spring, they're starting to come back now from spring break. They had a handful of practices. Now it's really practice central scrimmage. April 13th at noon, I believe, is the spring game. I'm going to go to that game just to check it out. It's always fun to be in the stadium as well, but just to kind of get a look at this Flecky guy here. And with the squads coming back here, get a look at this defensive line, because that's basically what our season, you know, how they produce, I believe, how our season will go. But real quick, you know, the Michigan State game, for the Gophers basketball, real quick, like I said, it sucked that Murray, you know, that Murphy, couldn't compete in it. You know what I mean? He tried to give it a go. I was a little worried about it back and all that. He couldn't give it a go. We obviously missed him. And from the jump, I mean, 5 minutes in, it's 11-2. We kind of worked our way back on the back of Coffee, got it to like 14-9, but then Sparty went on a run. I did think we got from, what is it, Omersa? I think we got some good minutes, some good productivity out of him. I think he's going to be able to produce. We mentioned that on a show or two ago. I liked his defensive positioning. It's just his positioning on the inside. He was giving us good, solid minutes. You know, I really thought that we are just taking too many threes. And I know they're giving them. But even like Murphy's first shot or two was three. Like they were really saying, hey, go for it, man. Take those shots. We don't think you can hit them. And you know, we had obviously hit a bunch of them, 11. It was a turning record in the game before. And he knew that probably wasn't going to continue. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a 14-0 run gets it 31-11. They're up a whole lot of points. You know, at the half, we did manage to cut it to, I think, 31-19 or something like 34-19, I don't remember. But they're shooting 13-16 from the field for a second there. That's 81%. Gophers were 4-21, including 1-11. And when you're shooting, you know, 11 threes, it's just too many. You know what I mean? It's just way too many. And you're looking at a 25-10. Rebound count at half, and it just got uglier. That I haven't seen a rebound, you know, differential like that in a long time. That really hurt us. And obviously Murphy, Mr. Double-Double, hurt us. But you're looking at half, and you got 12 points and from Coffee, and Washington actually came in, finally got some playing time, and gave us a little spark, but game. Now, sure, we made a little run. Gabe was in a whole lot of foul problems. We got it to 40-31, but their guy, you know, we started turning at the defense. I was like, all right, we're going to make a little Coastal run, the crowd got into it. It just like that, a personal run from Cassius Winston put us away. I did think it was a classy move, though, to put Jordan Murphy in the game at the end and be able to let him bow out like we, you know, like he probably wanted to. And you know, for them to be clapping their hands and saying Jordan Murphy, it was a good sight. You could tell it meant a lot to him, man.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I think he really nailed the game. I thought, you know, the biggest thing there was this Gabe wasn't hitting his shots. He came out, he had some good shots, and he just couldn't hit them. Kind of happened all night, and that kind of just left you with coffee. And one guy's easy to defend. And, you know, Murphy would have been in there. We would have got a little more rebounds, some second-chance points, the things that he offers. But, you know, that Michigan State team was a little better than even I thought they were. And then Winston's a great player, and God, I wish we could have a point guard like that. We need to find one, or Washington needs to become one. I thought he played decently well. I thought we got a good look at what next year's going to look like. Pretty early in that game, about the mid part of the first half, Pitino just kind of switched into next year mode. Then Murphy was out, and kind of got to see what we might look like. Hurt got a lot of good minutes. Washington got a lot of good minutes. Omersa as well. So we got to see sort of a preview. If Coffey stays or not is kind of a question we can talk about on the other show. But I think that overall it was a good season. I thought the win against Louisville needed to happen, and I'm glad that it did. So I think looking up, like you said, you texted me a couple times about Pitino finding a big man, and there's a few in state here that maybe he should try to get flipped. That are kind of leaving. They're signed to other places. A kid going down to Arizona, I think, that everybody's kind of wondering why he didn't sign with the Gophers. But nonetheless, we're going to have to get another big and work on the guard situation. A little depth there would be nice to give Gabe a spell. He's going to be playing a lot of minutes next year. So overall, I thought it was a good season. Looking forward to the next season and another run in the tournament.
Yeah, and then, you know, in a chunk of days, maybe a week, maybe 10 days, maybe a little longer. We'll see. We're going to do a Timberwolves review, season review, and kind of look towards next year and whatnot in free agency and who's going to come back, who's not, who's a must keep. What are we going to do? We just haven't been talking about them because, hey, they keep doing the same shit. So what's the point, right? But we will talk a little bit more Gopher-oriented. Coffey, will he come back? Like you said, some recruits. Man, it would be crazy to land that five-star recruit from Rochester, Hunt's brother. Talk about moving into a power forward position right there. And he's nowhere near what Murphy is rebounding-wise and whatnot, an inside play, but that guy can hit the three. So he could – that would be – and we need a big guy, no doubt about it. So we'll definitely talk a little bit more about that. That should do it for the Purple People Eaters podcast, Vikings free agency thoughts, and we even previewed the draft a little bit. So in about a month, probably about 5 weeks or so, keep an eye out for the Purple People Eaters podcast post-draft show. We'll chat it up. I said in probably about 10 days or something like that, we'll definitely do a recap for the Living in Loserville podcast as well. We really appreciate all the listeners. You know, we've been doing this since September. It's been a nice run. Any last words there from my co-host there? What do you think of there, buddy?
I don't know, man. I thought it was a good show. We're doing Gopher football. I think I might try to get the spring game as well. And they look pretty good. So offensive line looks amazing. So we're going to have to take a look at those guys and see what we think will be a quarterback competition and new guys at linebacker. And really want to keep an eye on the secondary. I thought that was a kind of a question mark for us last year. Want to kind of see if we got the kind of guys that can come in and we need another corner, and that we got a safety graduating and another safety coming in. We got some good recruits that might be able to fill that spot and some players that were redshirted last year. And I really think Flex is going to be doing a lot more redshirting this year, especially with the 4-game rule. I think a lot of these guys that came in this year are going to start off in that redshirt position, which is a luxury that we didn't have last year, and it'll be kind of good to see freshmen not thrust in so fast as they were last year. So, yeah, looking forward to going for football season as well, and I'll see you at the spring game.
Yeah, and we'll have a spring game wrap and just spring wrap in general. And there is another Winfield in the secondary coming to town, folks. Just so you know, that's right. A third Winfield in town. I love the Winfield family. God bless you. Winfield was one of Antoine Winfield is one of my favorite Vikings player of all time. I mean, I just love the guy's hard nosed little dude, but he's tackling your ass, dude. He's tackling you. He's another linebacker. He'll just go right underneath the legs of an offensive lineman. He was so fun to watch. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here, I should say. That's it for the Purple People Eaters podcast. See you in about a month as far as Purple People Eaters podcast. We'll be back with the Living in Loserville podcast as well to talk, you know, those Timberwolves, wrap them up for the season, and also a little bit more detail with the Gopher stuff as well as far as, you know, who's coming back. I mean, is Washington for sure coming back? He seems like he's got a good positive attitude on the bench, but you just don't know. Someone will probably give him a go. So we're going to have to see. Anyway, we're out of here. Enjoy the games coming up basketball-wise. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe